A Winter Wonder, A Pride and Prejudice Novella Variation. Chapter 1, October 1812. Chapter 1, October 1812. A grand estate nestled as God's treasure amongst the rolling hills of Derbyshire. Pemberley bustled with more activity than it had seen in over two decades. Trunks paraded endlessly from the carriages, and emptied carriages continued the drive around the expansive home to the eastern side, holding the stables. The middle carriage halted before the main staircase, dutifully stationed with senior staff members on each step, all the way up to the oaken double doors. Mr. Fitzwilliam Darcy exited first, to the sigh of the longtime housekeeper, Mrs. Reynolds. He touched the brim of his hat in respect to the woman who performed the office of motherly worry as well as head of the household staff. With a broad smile, Darcy turned back towards the carriage and extended his arm for his most precious cargo inside, Mrs. Darcy. Upon her descent, Elizabeth Darcy gasped in response to the spontaneous rousing applause breaking out before her. A grin on her own face to match most of the staff's smiles, she accepted Mr. Darcy's arm and felt a rush of excitement as the two joyously walked the gauntlet of well-wishes to the front door. Their wedding more than 6 months passed. A renewal of blushing bridal emotions overwhelmed her person. Mr. Darcy huskily whispered into his wife's ear, "You are a part of this place, just as I always knew you would be," as the head footman opened the doors, allowing them access to their home. Behind the Darcys, the staff began to welcome the numerous family members of the Bennett and Gardner families, and Mrs. Reynolds pushed through the throng of people to follow her master and new mistress into the elegant marbled entryway. "Mr. Darcy, sir, a blessing upon this house you are arrived safe and sound. Mrs. Darcy, it is my distinguished pleasure to serve you, and I hope you will find my preparations for your family and guests satisfactory." Mrs. Reynolds greeted the young couple once more, the warmth of her relationship with the Darcy family clear to Elizabeth from the older woman's warm embrace of them both. "I am certain my family shall feel quite at ease, Mrs. Reynolds. How could one not?" Elizabeth laughed and looked up at her husband, who twitched his nose once in response. The movement was so swift, if Elizabeth had not known to look for his approval in this way, she would have missed it. The loving gestures between the new couple struck Mrs. Reynolds, and she clutched her chest. Leaving Mr. Darcy the privilege of showing Mrs. Darcy to her apartments above stairs, she hurried to oversee the remaining arrivals. Pert and firm, maintaining order was her chief concern. My, what a spacious entryway. Yes, yes, noble and stately, though missing a woman's touch. My Lizzie will change that, you'll see.
She is Mrs. Darcy. A large, overwrought woman dressed head to toe in black crepe stood marveling at the interior, surrounded by bewildered maids.
Mrs. Reynolds pressed her lips into a thin line, recognizing the described Mrs. Bennett from Mr. Darcy's letters. She had arranged for his mother-in-law to occupy the largest suite of the guest wing, away from the family proper. "Mrs. Bennett, I have taken the liberty of placing you in the gardenia suite. Alice, please show Mrs. Bennett to her suite."
"Aye, ma'am. Follow me, please, madam."
Alice spoke demurely, but being of hardy Derby stock, she stood 2 inches taller than Mrs. Bennett and nearly as wide. A maid in the household by virtue of the family line, Alice could just as easily take on the tasks of a footman.
"The gardenia suite?" Mrs. Bennett looked about her with the neck movements of an excited swallow, while her other daughters stood frozen outside in their own wonder.
"That sounds quite exclusive. Yes, I should like the gardenia suite very much. Is it near Mrs. Darcy's suite of rooms? As her mother, I must see that she is properly situated."
"Madame, the master and mistress have retired, and I am under strict instructions for such circumstances.
I am certain there shall be time enough for Mrs. Darcy to give you a tour at her leisure."
A sudden drop of a trunk distracted Mrs. Reynolds as Alice led the handled Mrs. Bennett away.
"Thomas, more care if you please." The young footman blushed as he had been too busy looking at the giggling young women now entering the home to tend properly to his duties of assisting with a trunk.
The three women presented a graduation of colors and features. The eldest, Mary, stood the most proper, with her dark features leading to her younger sister Kitty's lighter brown hair and hazel eyes. Kitty linked arms with her closest friend, Georgiana Darcy, who looked the opposite of her elder brother, with her light features.
"This cannot be your home. This is the size of a palace. Kitty marveled at the frescoes painted high above her, squinting to make out the smaller details of cherubs and gold leafing.
"It's the only home I've ever known," Georgiana beamed with pride, then dropped to a whisper. "But when I was younger, I did fear getting lost."
Spying Mrs. Reynolds, Georgiana released her friend and skittered across the perfectly polished marble floor to tackle the housekeeper in a fierce hug.
"Miss Darcy, Miss Darcy," the old housekeeper laughed as she tore the young girl away from her, who stood no less than 5 inches taller. "And welcome home to you, miss. The whole staff has lamented the loss of your piano practicing."
"Fret not, Mrs. Reynolds, I've brought sisters. This is Miss Mary Bennett, who also is an accomplished pianist, and this is Miss Catherine Bennett, an accomplished author."
"Georgiana, shh, I do not wish your brother to be more cross with us. We are not supposed to tell anyone."
"Miss Darcy, have you vexed your brother while you were away?" The housekeeper pretended to look stern, but clearly she held a tender for the youngest member of the Darcy family. "What's a summer holiday without a bit of mischief?" Georgiana made a guilty face to Mrs. Reynolds, who merely shook her head.
"Can I show my new sisters to their suites, the Golden Rose, correct?"
"Yes, yes, the staff refreshed the pate this week," Mrs. Reynolds called after the young women as they hurried up the double staircase, Georgiana Darcy in the lead. The most surprising arrival was that of the Gardner family, when Mrs. Reynolds spied Mrs. Madeline Gardner arriving with her nurse and 3 children about her skirts. She gasped for breath.
"Could that possibly be little Maddie Tompkins? I had hoped to see you when we were invited.
Children, my Nanny Pierce."
Madeline Gardner greeted Mrs. Reynolds with glistening eyes. The Reynolds family were once neighbors to her own. She reached out and clasped the housekeeper's hand with her own.
"And who be the wee one?" The slight lilt to Mrs. Reynolds' accent betrayed her Irish origins as she inspected the babe still in Mrs. Gardner's arms.
"This is Constance," screamed like the banshee the whole last bit here, and tuckered herself out.
"Nurse?"
Mrs. Gardner handed her sleeping infant daughter to the nursemaid. "I put your family on the 3rd floor so that you might stay close to the nursery. Promise me, once you're settled, we will have a set-down."
Mrs. Reynolds fussed and greeted each of the Gardner children, offering them a sweet from the pocket of her apron.
Mrs. Gardner replied that she would freshen her appearance and ask for directions to Mrs. Reynolds' office. A childhood friend of Mrs. Reynolds' only daughter, the grown-up Maddie Tompkins felt eager to spend time with the closest friend of her mother's. As the remaining trunks found their homes and the last carriage hied off to the stables for unhitching, Mrs. Reynolds nodded to Mr. Colston, the butler, to close the main doors. With a satisfying thud, Pemberley closed, and Mrs. Reynolds delighted in hearing the noises and joy from the inhabitants upstairs. Checking the small timekeeper on a fine gold chain she wore at her waist, a gift from the late Mrs. Darcy when she took the housekeeper position, she shrugged off the melancholy of reflection and forced herself to continue about her business. Weary travelers were soon hungry, and while she held no doubts cook had the kitchens in hand, her job involved ensuring all areas of the house ran shipshape. She was off below stairs as more junior staff scattered to fulfill the many roles they often did not need to do when the house was empty. Pemberley felt alive and bustling once more. Above stairs, Elizabeth Darcy held her right hand obediently over her eyes as she allowed her husband to lead her down the carpeted hall to the rooms decorated for her own personal use. Her footsteps fumbling and clumsy, she felt her husband's other hand instinctively support her lower back as he walked near to her. "No reason to risk you or the babe harm for such a silly surprise," he said.
"Fitzwilliam, I so dearly love your surprises, just a touch slower, and I think I might manage."
Elizabeth resisted the urge to peek between her fingertips, both for balance purposes and sneaking a glimpse of the room, as she realized her husband had stopped his forward progress. He released her hand, which she naturally used to cover her right hand, so as to ensure she kept his lovely surprise just that. She heard the unmistakable sound of 2 doorknobs being turned and the doors opening.
"Welcome home, my love."
Slowly, Elizabeth allowed her hands to slide down her face and covered her mouth, which opened in abject shock at the vista of the sun-drenched apartments in front of her. The room had been papered in a delicate golden cream and pale green striped pattern along the bottom half of the wall, highlighting the elegant golden features around the room. The sire wall was not painted in a pastel color as was the common habit of many stately homes, but instead a deep and luscious plum
that appeared softened by the golden hues and greens in everything from the tapestries to the linens. The room exuded an effortless feel of royalty. At her husband's gentle nudge, Elizabeth Darcy tiptoed carefully into her own bedroom suite, as though it were another's, and she were a little girl about to get caught making mischief where she ought not to be. "Of course I did have your maid open the second set of doors in anticipation," Darcy exhibited for Elizabeth how she completely missed the privacy afforded by the antechamber they just walked through. Glee bubbled up from somewhere deep within, and Elizabeth spun around in her new room like a pauper made a princess. "Fitzwilliam, this room is exquisite. However did you know I would love these colors?" Elizabeth's maid Becky peeked out from her mistress's dressing room, purposed solely for the very large wardrobe Mrs. Darcy would eventually own, and then disappeared just as suddenly. Mr. Darcy made a sheepish face and shrugged his shoulders. "I shall never reveal my secrets." Elizabeth delicately fingered the finely threaded coverlet on her bed and drifted over to the white nightstand fashioned in the French style.
"I suspect I might guess from what quarter your assistance came from,
and all I can say," Elizabeth Darcy raised her voice so that it might be heard clearly in her dressing room, "is that I heartily approve any who might help your intelligence gathering about me, so long as it is not a subject I've expressly forbade. My favorite colors, books, and other gifts are perfectly acceptable." Elizabeth giggled as her husband charged in her direction, only to delicately embrace her and lift her into his arms. "And what do you expressly forbid, Mrs. Darcy?" Darcy nuzzled his face into the hollow of his wife's collarbone when an urgent knocking on the outer door interrupted his ardor. While releasing a rather audible groan and enduring his Lizzie laughing at him, Darcy set his wife down so that she might answer the door. Fighting with a stubborn cravat, he removed the offending cloth as his wife's dressing room door closed. Darcy took a seat on the edge of her bed, only for her to return just moments after she had left his side. "I am certain my dearest must be quite tired after all of the traveling we've done today. Come, and I shall unpin your hair." Darcy's eyes lit up as he offered his services and reached out for his wife, making his plans for the afternoon clearly communicated. Elizabeth chewed her lower lip and remained just out of his reach. She shook her head and responded, "The girls were in the hall. My mother is already wandering. Perhaps it is best we conduct the tours this afternoon and take a light meal in the dining room." "I should have thought you to be utterly exhausted, as you've been low these many weeks. Despite your family's needs and your responsibilities as mistress of this house, I do not wish for you to jeopardize your health." Elizabeth brightened and stood slightly straighter to prove her vigor. "Surprisingly, I feel quite energized at the moment. I cannot perform the tours on my own. I should have no earthly idea which room is which." Darcy arched an eyebrow at his wife. "You do realize Georgiana has also lived in this house her entire life, and is more than capable of conducting tours for your mother and two sisters." Elizabeth held out her hands, and when her husband clasped them, she leaned back to pull him towards her into a standing position. "Up, you rogue." "An explanation?" Elizabeth stood on her tiptoes to touch her nose to her husband's and give him a loving kiss. "You whisk me away to this fairy tale castle, only to lock me in my chambers. If that's not a rogue, then I've learned nothing from my stories." Darcy leaned his forehead against his wife's, and he sighed. She was right that he was a fool to think they'd find some modicum of privacy on their first day of arrival. Elizabeth sensed she had won the argument and began to walk towards the door,
frantically trying to retie his own knot.
Feeling pity for the man, she hastily stopped and turned around to make a serviceable presentation for them to return downstairs. Giving him another peck on the cheek, she did offer him one concession. "While I appreciate you play the gentleman this afternoon, I hope to see the rogue return this evening." Elizabeth dashed away to the hall before her husband could retaliate for her cheekiness. Nearly crashing into her congregated sisters, Elizabeth linked arms with Mary and excitedly joined the conversation the girls were having about the large estate. Mrs. Gardiner declined to take a formal tour and leave the children, so the merry party of explorers consisted of the two Darcy siblings, Mrs. Bennet, and her three daughters. Between the various parlors and rooms, with each of their fully spelled out history and uses, Elizabeth began to feel proud that her patient husband endured every inane quibble or concern her mother voiced. After visiting nearly a 24 rooms, the mathematics of Mr. Darcy's fortune appeared to have summed in the widow Bennet's mind.
over 2 dozen rooms you keep heated, plus the servants' quarters and the suites upstairs, not to mention a house in town. My word, Mr. Darcy, I cannot fathom such extravagance on a mere £10,000 a year.
The rudeness of such an exclamation halted the younger girls in their tracks,
and Elizabeth exclaimed her mother's name in exasperation.
I see no need to discuss my financial situation with you at this time, Mrs. Bennet. But be assured, while you and your family are under my care, you shall not want for any comfort.
Darcy's voice was neither callous nor mean, but the tone made it clear his statement was final. The party of explorers quietly continued down the hall, subdued by Mrs. Bennet's rude outburst. Elizabeth turned her head to both sides in an attempt to keep her orientation. So far, she managed to note the location and layout of more than half of the rooms that her husband and his sister had gleefully pointed out. But now they were moving to the opposite wing of the house, and she noticed the decorations were beginning to age. "Is this an original wing of the estate?" Kitty piped up from the back of the group, before Elizabeth could voice the same question. Darcy nodded at his youngest sister by marriage and touched his finger to his nose.
"I forget your powers of keen observation, Catherine."
The compliment made both Kitty and Georgiana giggle and look at one another for silent confirmation. "My ancestors owned a more modest home on this very location, in the Tudor style. A great fire burned much of the original bedrooms and servants' quarters so that the kitchen had to be relocated to the location it is now. But one room stood perfectly preserved, and for that, I'm eternally grateful."
Darcy reached behind him to turn the knob and open the door, walking backward so that he could observe the reaction of his wife's face when at last she spied the famed Library of Pemberley. In all, even the non-readers of the family marveled at the extensive and carefully catalogued collections of rows and rows upon rows of leather-bound volumes on sturdy wooden shelves. Elizabeth counted 3 tables which held what must be priceless reference materials, as the books took up nearly the entire table for display. A small landing had been crafted on one side of the room, with sofas and chairs perfectly positioned for the day's light spilling through a column of rectangular windows with cross-hatching to reinforce the glass. Georgiana happily grasped Kitty's hands and led her to the back corner of the library, disappearing around the corner of one of the shelves. Elizabeth looked to her husband in confusion, and he offered a very simple explanation. "We possess an entire collection of the most popular novelists. I suspect Catherine will enjoy finding new inspiration for her stories." A flood of emotion threatened to consume Elizabeth, as she wished for nothing more than that her father could have seen such an expansive and impressive library such as this. Darcy held his hands out to Elizabeth and led her to another corner of the library to show her a different set of shelves. But Elizabeth did not need to get closer than a few feet away to recognize the bindings perfectly organized on the shelf in front of her. "My father's books?"
Darcy nodded, explaining how Mr. Gardiner felt it more proper for the Bennet family library to be housed here for future generations than be held in his London home. Elizabeth made a mental note to return the books she had rescued over a year ago from the cost-saving measures employed by her dastardly cousin Collins under the misguided influence of Mr. Darcy himself. She had expected to feel tears and another bout of guilt and loss overwhelm her, but instead a wave of relief and comfort washed over her heart. It was not easy, but her father's memory was more and more becoming less painful to keep.
"Come, come, surely there must be another room you wish to show us, Mr. Darcy," his mother-in-law called, from where she still stood no more than a handful of steps across the threshold. Mr. Darcy walked out from the corner of the library where he stood with his wife, spying the 3 young women on the other side of the library, cheerily discussing and trading various volumes of romance novels back and forth. The sight of such happiness over reading material made him wish to laugh, but he held his emotions under good regulation. "I'm afraid it was my aim to end the tour here, as I suspected once I showed your daughter the library, there was a strong possibility I might not persuade her to leave," Mrs. Bennet responded in a flustered tone, ridiculously trying to defend her daughter's willingness to fulfill her wifely duties and responsibilities to the household, when Elizabeth quickly joined her husband's side.
"You must not take my husband at his word, Mama. He was only teasing me. It is our way."
Elizabeth looked up at her husband, and the two of them enjoyed one of those longing looks that had so characterized their courtship, engagement, and still burned brightly even 6 months into their marriage. Such love and adoration were foreign to Mrs. Bennet, who had spent a lifetime learning to employ her attentions and charms
for the sole purpose of manipulating men, under her will. I should still say that tomorrow, Lizzie, you and I shall conduct another tour. I did note a number of places where there is much work to be done. Tapestries and upholstery. Mrs. Bennet began enumerating the faults on her fingers, pausing to frown. And I do think the marble floor of the ballroom perhaps would look better in a different color than the same marble coloring of the entryway. Mama, Elizabeth pursed her lips, wishing she had taken her mother aside before the tour, where her incessant commentary of the shabbiness of the decor had embarrassed her most acutely. As Mrs. Darcy, it is my plan to preserve the ancestral, the legacy of the Darcy family in this home. Over time, there may be a few things that Fitzwilliam and I decide to change, but all of those discussions will be conducted between my husband and myself.
But how could you know what to change and what to leave? A mother knows these things.
No, certainly you can explain your decisions to Mr. Darcy, but I shall help you to make the list and inspect the offers the tradesmen here have to offer. Perhaps we shall need to procure some materials from London or elsewhere. It would not do to diminish the house. My wife has spoken her wishes, Mrs. Bennet, and I will not tolerate any disrespect for her position. Mr. Darcy's harsh tone stopped Mrs. Bennet's frenetic bumblings immediately. Brother, do you suppose the repast is ready in the dining room? Georgiana piped up from the floor of the library, changing the subject to try to move all past the embarrassing display of Mrs. Bennet. What an excellent suggestion, Mrs. Darcy. Fitzwilliam held his arm out to Elizabeth, and the couple gallantly strolled past her mother to lead the way out of the library. The girls followed dutifully behind, each with a book in hand. Elizabeth Darcy breathed in deeply as they reached the hall, feeling a slight squeeze from her husband's side. It was not pleasant, but her dominance over the household had to be established, even at the embarrassment of her mother. Unfortunately, Lizzie Bennet knew her mother would not relinquish her presumed position of dowager without more than one battle of wills. And eventually, her husband would not be present to support her position, and she would have to stand up to her mother on her own.